I am John, Wookiee impersonator and Aladrin warlock with the Warriors of the Stars. Along came Jason, my bearded friend. Fabulous secret ideas revealed to me the day he came to my house and said, I want to make a podcast! Only two others share this secret. Eric of the Loch Ness and Jacob. Together we started talking about toys, comics, games, and movies on the Super Awesome Geek Show! It's cold outside, there's no kind of atmosphere, I'm all alone, more or less. Let me fly far away from here, fun, 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 in the sun, sun, sun. It's the Super Awesome Geek Show. I'm John, your host, and you guessed it, we're talking Red Dwarf today. We got Eric Locke with me, and Rob Bailey's returning. Rob's a big fan of Red Dwarf. Yeah, yeah, pretty big fan. I think he's got them all memorized, you know, backwards and forwards. Boy, we've been crazy busy lately, getting ready for all these conventions and shows coming up. I know we haven't had a lot of our little segments on the episodes, on the Friday episodes lately. We're going to bring all that back now that we've got a little bit more time on our schedule. Yeah, we've really been crunched with time. I'm sorry about all that. We're bringing back the little segment we all love at the end of the show. Get your geek on at the con. We've got three people to tell you about today. Find out what they geek out about. From Mad Monster Magazine's Mad Monster over Seattle, we've got Angus Scrim. We'll find out what he geeks out about. We'll talk to Cora Walker at Geek Girl Con. Rob took care of that one. Rob Clifford. So, you know, he'll find out what she geeks out about. And from the Bellingham Comic Con, we've got Bubba DeFett. He's with the Mandalorian Mercs. So yeah, you know, I want to tell you, speaking of busy, speaking of Comic Con, speaking of shows and all that that we've been going to and doing and all this stuff, we're going to be at the Jet City Comic Show tomorrow in Tacoma, Washington. I really encourage you guys to come down, check that out, or come up if you're in the South. You know, either way, whatever. We're going to have a booth at the show, booth number 415. You know, we're going to, of course, be promoting the Super Awesome Geek Show. We've also got a whole lot of things there from the eBay store, Kingdom of the Geeks. That's where we make a little bit of our money to keep this show going. Why settle for a cave when you can have a kingdom, right? I always like to think of us as kind of like a toy rescue. We travel around different garage sales, different estate sales, various other places where we can find all these discarded and unused old toys. And then we try to clean them up a little bit if they need it, store them if they need it. Sometimes they're just perfect as they are. Throw them up on eBay. We don't try to gouge you. We just got a pretty reasonable prices. And we try to get them into the proper home so they can get the love and care that they need. Just like a rescue, right? We also, you know, through the years, I've met four or five different people who work for Filmation and Hanna-Barbera back in the day, back in the 80s. I've also met Hal Sutherland, you know, one of the guys who's brought it all to us. One of the masterminds behind Filmation. And I've managed to collect a few hundred of these animated cells. The actual hand-painted cells that were used in the cartoons that we grew up with and love. Plus, I have a lot of hand-drawing, the sketches, the original sketches that were used to guide the painters and the animators when they were coloring these cells. Some of them match, some of them don't. But we're going to have all that stuff, a selection of it there at the show. You can check that out. If you feel like it, you can get one. Pick one or two of them up if you feel like it. Plus, we've been generously donated an Audio-Technica professional monitor headphone set. It's model ATH-M50. Says exceptional audio quality for professional monitoring and mixing. Eric has generously donated one of these. We're going to do a Red Dwarf contest. It'll go on till November 21st. You can find out all about how to enter that contest at the Jet City Comic Show in Tacoma, Washington. At our booth, stop by, pick up a little flyer, see how you can enter to win these amazing headphones. They're actually, I'm looking at them right now, and I'm kind of jealous. They're way better than the things that I use. Yeah, well, you know, you can check these out at the show. Come down to the Jet City Comic Show, enter the contest, and you could be sitting pretty with some really nice headphones. But first, I want to highlight one of the interviews we've done recently. Let me bring you a snippet of an interview with Michael G. Muntz, and then we'll get right into Red Dwarf. Today we've got author Michael G. Muntz.
So, Michael, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and let us know about the novels, right? You've written...
I've written three at this point. There's also a short story collection, but that's only...
Oh, okay.
There's three short stories in there. But yeah, I'm I hate labels, so I usually just describe myself as a speculative fiction writer, which is a nice, huge, broad, you know, category that I can, you know, not get too pigeonholed in. But mostly I write sci-fi and fantasy. My most recent is called Zeus is Dead, A Monstrously Inconvenient Adventure, which takes place in modern day with Greek gods just showing up out of nowhere after a 3,000-year hiatus, and I just sort of have fun with that concept and tried to make it as funny as I possibly could.
The title itself is pretty funny. I like that.
Yeah. Thank you. We were going to call it Murdering Zeus for Fun and Profit. Profit with a PH, but then we realized, well, you know, he gets killed in the first chapter, so it's really not, it's not actually about planning a murder as to what happens afterward.
What do you really like? Do you geek out about stuff? I mean, like, what, you know, since this is a geek show, what do you geek out about?
lots of stuff, actually. Farscape and Twin Peaks are two of my biggest things. I'm actually showing Twin Peaks to someone now. Ever since...
You might be one of the first ones to bring up Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah. That shows how old I am, I guess.
It's a great show.
Recently, I actually just started watching The Strain, which at first I didn't even know what it was about until someone, you know, a friend of mine told me, and like, you have to watch this. It's about vampires, and they're actually scary, and they don't sparkle, and they're not trying to seduce anyone.
So there's a little snippet for you. I'll leave it right there. That's the interview with Michael G. Muntz, his book, Zeus is Dead. Check him out in the interview section at superawesomegeekshow.com. You can hear the full half-hour interview with Michael and learn all about Zeus is Dead and what he geeks out about. It's pretty cool. I encourage you to go check it out and read the book. So let's go talk about Red Dwarf.
Eric, what's your favorite episode? Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite season? Where are you? I guess we should start with, where are you guys on the show? Have you seen all of it or some?
I've seen a couple of seasons. I think I've seen 6, maybe 7. So what's the one where they return to Earth? Is that 8?
It was 9.
That's 9.
Yeah, and that's what I just started on. I'm at 9, episode 3.
I've seen 7 seasons. And my favorite season to start off is when Crichton comes on, which I think is season 3. Is that correct, Robert?
I think so. I'm not positive. It's either 3 or 4.
Okay.
He's on in the first season towards the end or that might be the start of the second season. He makes one appearance. It's not the same actor, and he looks a lot different.
That's the android, right?
But, yeah, Crichton. Yeah.
Did you know that guy? He does the voice for the toaster.
Oh, really?
The guy who was the original Crichton?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's my understanding.
I guess I should watch special features if I want to know all this stuff.
Hey, so, Robert, you've seen all of it, have you, or not?
I've seen 9 of the seasons. They just did a 10th season, and that was earlier this year. I haven't seen that one. So what was your favorite? Do you have a favorite episode?
You know, I cannot. I'm going to let you guys field that question. I don't know that I have a favorite one that I can think of right off the top of my head.
I don't know if it's my favorite episode. I like the one where I forget which season it's in, but they find a machine that lets them turn themselves into whatever they want to, and Crichton turns himself into a human. So he turns himself from a robot into a human.
Oh, yeah.
So he all the stuff that he goes through when he's an actual human, it's like, my nipples don't work. He's having just like weird things. He doesn't know how to zoom his eyes into what he's looking at. Lister's like, oh, you just got to move your head closer. Like, he's seeing that it's not really all that great to be human. So I like that one. Then they accidentally turn Lister into a chicken. So that one's pretty good. I mean, there's lots of good episodes. It's hard to pick your favorite, but
that's true. I remember so just funny parts. I mean, I like the odd couple aspect of Lister and Rimmer.
Yeah. I was going to say that this is a show that I think has a lot of relationships. There's a lot of good one-on-one relationships in the show between the characters. Like you said, there's Rimmer. He's the hologram, right? Mm-hmm. And then Crichton is the android, the robot. And you got the cat. Does the cat have a name other than the cat?
Just cat.
Just the cat, yeah. And then Lister, right?
Yeah.
And then we had Holly, which was the original, wasn't it originally Holly, the computer in the ship?
Yeah.
And then it switched to that guy, right? Who was the guy?
It was the guy first, but they're both named Holly, right?
Oh, yeah,
both?
Holly. Okay.
I think at the start of one of the seasons they have like a scroll like on the start of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it goes along and then it just like skips into fast motion and there's like a full, you know, pages and pages of stuff going by. So I'm sure that there's plenty of geeks like myself out there who have slowed it down and hit freeze frame so you can read all the stuff. But so Holly starts out as a bald guy and then he turns himself into a woman and then he turns himself back into Holly.
The bald guys,
they come back at the very end, so...
Okay.
I mean, he's only on it... They lose Red Dwarf, and they're on just Starbug by itself, so there's no...
The green
Starbug
ship.
There's no Holly during that.
Yeah.
But then when he comes back, it's the bald guy again.
Yeah.
But it's the same... It's the same computer, he just changes. He says he gives himself a head sex change.
What about you, John? Do you have a favorite episode?
Well, no. They said that. What I was going to get at was the different interactions. So you've got all these characters, and I like the interactions between like the cat and the android,
mm-hmm.
and then I like the interactions between Lister and the android, and like Rimmer and the android, Rimmer and Crichton, you know.
Yeah.
And then Rimmer and Lister, you know. And sometimes when Holly's there, it's fun to watch Holly and Rimmer go to Ida, you know, so there's all these different one-on-one interactions that are really well done and play off each other really well, and I like, you know, like how the cat's just like, a brown alert, it's gonna be a brown alert,
right.
And then Crichton's like, brown alert, what is a brown alert, that's not in the book, you know, like he's all serious and all, like,
find out in a minute.
Yeah, and then the cat's like, well, you'll find out in a minute.
You remember that one where they have to decide what kind of alert they're on, so they have to change out the bulb?
They had to change out the bulb.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the reasons that it's a good show and it's lasted for so long is when they first started, they didn't have any budget. There was no special effects. They were basically in their bunk room or in the like drive room, and so they only needed a couple of sets. They didn't really have any kind of special stuff going on.
That's
and
true.
So they had to, like, they concentrated on the story, they concentrated on the dialogue more than they would just say, oh, let's make this look really cool. And it's like, well, then I guess they probably didn't have the money to do that.
Yeah.
So
it had to be really character-driven and really dialogue-heavy.
Yeah.
Well, it makes it a really good show because it's pretty darn hilarious, I think.
Well, I was thinking about this when we started talking about doing this, and I was wondering if you guys know, are there any other, like, actual comedy sci-fi shows? I mean, most of them have, like, bits of comedy in them, but, like, straight-ahead comedy. Because you get, like, I mean, you get Star Trek or or any of, like, Firefly. They've got comedic elements, they're more of a drama with added on.
Well,
I can't think of other ones that are...
There's a show called Hyperspace that Nick Frost is in.
Mm.
He's of the, you know, the pairing Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, who did Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and... Paul. Well, yeah, Nick Frost, he did one that's called Hyperspace, and that one's pretty much all comedy.
Yeah.
And there was an old TV show for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But that was, I mean, what, in the 70s, right? Early 70s or something, yeah. I think, if I remember right.
I guess I'm not up on my sci-fi shows as well.
But I don't think there's anything really that current, right? Because Red Dwarf is still on TV, right?
Yeah. Though, I mean, they just put out a new season. They are showing it on PBS now, so I'm assuming they're going to play the newest season.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons that it didn't take off all that well in the States, is because it's on PBS. And
it's not a show that's on BBC America? Like, wouldn't they have it on BBC? Or is it not a BBC show?
BBC, you know, I really don't know. It's always been on PBS when I've seen it.
And interesting.
They were doing something on the channel where they're like going through and showing them all in a row. So it'll be like every Saturday night on PBS.
Yeah.
You get a couple episodes of Red Dwarf.
Sure.
But I don't think it ever was. I mean, back when I was watching it, when it was like when it actually aired and they'd have it on PBS, there wasn't BBC America.
Yeah, you know, of course. Yeah.
You know, there was 25 channels or whatever. So.
Well, I'm just thinking in my head that I don't remember even seeing it on the listing. But I mean, I recently just got new TV, so I have no idea. New channels, I mean, so I have no idea what's on there. I haven't explored that much.
But for those interested, I'm seeing on Netflix that they have the first 9 series, I guess.
So only 9 seasons, not 10 yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, watch it up to season 9.
But you know, for a comedy, they do go into serious discussions of things, which I think is interesting and fun.
Do you have an example?
Sure, maybe, you know, just their personal battles with rumor inside his head of who he was and how he was treated and trying to come to grips with that relationship with his family kind of thing.
Yeah, with his father and everything, right?
Yeah. Seems to be a little serious there. But
all, and his whole, and his whole career, he's like one that started out wanting to be, what, like an honorable and be all like head, he wanted to go for command, right?
Yeah, he's always taking
that. But he just like bungles around or something and just can't get anything going, right?
Right, yeah.
He's like the science officer that doesn't know anything. The opposite of Data or Spock or...
Yeah, he's kind of supposed to be the Data or Spock of the group, but he really... he's kind of like the Barkley.
Because, yeah. I mean, who's the leader on...
Sorry, Mr. Dwight Schultz, but that's a great character.
That is a great character.
So who's the leader of Red Dwarf? I mean, is it...
Lister's got to be the leader, yeah. But if anything really goes down, Lister's the one who's got a level head.
Yeah, but he's like... I mean, Rimmer totally wants to be in charge, but Lister doesn't want to be in charge.
No.
I mean,
no.
Right.
But technically, I mean, you know, this is a question I got for you. So me being like just someone who watches it, not like a super huge fan, you know, like Robert here. I went into Red Dwarf when I first started watching from season one, thinking that Lister was the last human being alive. Yeah. Like something happened and that's all there is. And then later on, as the series goes on, they find more people. So it's kind of like, what? Did the Earth get destroyed? Like, what is, do you know any, is there any background to this, or is it just like...
Well, they're supposed to be...
Because like, he was asleep for like 4 million years, yeah, or something, years. Right?
Yeah. And as far as he knows, in the first few seasons, he's the last human alive. I mean, they go back, I guess they meet, but they meet like people who aren't human.
Yeah, they meet they're other not, people, but they're not actually humans. Yeah. But... They eventually, like, what was the whole return to Red and all that stuff? But they were all resurrected by the nanites, right?
Yeah, that's...
Okay, so that's totally different.
Yeah, so when they rebuild Red Dwarf, they rebuild all the people who were on it.
Yep, that's
right. I don't
know
if you remember in the first one where Lister's walking around and there's all the, like, white piles of dust.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Seeing all of the piles of dust.
Yeah, and, yeah. So those piles ended up being the people before they got reconstituted or whatever.
So I guess when they had it get put back together again, they had to get put back together with...
You know, here's a good question. This just popped into my mind. If you are a pile of dust, and then someone reconstitutes you, does that mean that you are now from Concentrate?
Well, there's that Star Trek where they make the people into those little cubes.
I don't remember that one. Do they? I don't remember that episode.
Yeah, I guess they stole it from Star Trek. Lots of things were stolen from Star Trek.
In fact, speaking of Star Trek, I heard that Patrick Stewart, when he first saw it, thought it was a Star Trek ripoff and was calling his lawyer, and actually turned out to really enjoy the show.
The actors don't instigate those kind of lawsuits, do they?
You know, you'll have to take it up with Patrick Stewart.
With Mr. Stewart, yeah.
Mr. Stewart, sir.
I couldn't imagine an actor actually instigating a lawsuit like that. You'd think it'd be the big corporation.
I'm with you.
Behind it, that would do that, not the actual individual actors.
Yeah.
I mean, they get paid. Who cares if someone else makes a ripoff?
Right.
I think I've seen in one of the DVDs in Red Dwarf. I can't remember which season it is. I think they actually talk to Patrick Stewart a little. They have he does
like a cameo thing. Cameo comes on. Yeah.
He's not actually in the show, but like they're talking about one of the shows or they're. Like, hearing what other people have to say, he's one of the people that is on there, so he can't, like, hate it too much, or...
Yeah. My feeling on like, rip-offs and copies and things like that is, if someone is copying your show or ripping it off, then that means that you have a successful show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because people wouldn't... you know what I mean? They wouldn't take the time to copy you if it wasn't something that everyone really liked and enjoyed,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, also, I mean, all of those Star Trek things are ripoffs of the original. I mean,
someone could probably make an argument that every single science fiction show that has come since is a little bit of a takeoff of Star Trek. You know,
yeah,
it's just they struck on a winning formula and it works. So you know, mm-hmm.
But Star Trek always had like some kind of moral to the story at the end.
Yeah, they kind of did. Yeah, a lot of Star Trek and Next Generation and going on did have a lot of that. There was always some kind of underlying message, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think so.
I mean, I'm on a lot. Now, there were some episodes that didn't, but yeah. There was a lot that did, right? Especially in the 60s when that was something to be done on TV, right?
Yeah, a takeaway.
Yeah. So do you guys, is there any of the characters that you really, really like? Are there anything that do you have a favorite character? Or are you kind of like me and you like certain interactions? Like, because I love the cat. I mean, I think he's fantastic. And I love his interactions with Crichton, the android, you know?
Yeah, I think it's more the way the characters interact than the characters themselves. The way that Lister and Rimmer play off each other is more than just if Lister was by himself or when he's with a cat, it's different, you know? I think it's more character interaction than characters themselves.
Yeah, that's a good assessment. I don't know that any one of them... I don't know if there could be a spin-off of just one.
Yeah, think about that. If you could spin it off and have one character go on his own show, would it work?
And I like it precisely for that, I guess, maybe. I mean, the interactions that you're talking about, that's a good spotlight to put on it.
You know, now, it's been a long time since I've seen season one. So when it first showed up, it was just Rimmer and Lister, right? Mm-hmm,
and the cat.
And then they found the cat on the... After a couple episodes,
was it a couple?
Right?
No, he was on the first episode.
Was he in the first episode? Okay.
Yeah, because he's got the cat. Remember, I mean, it was 3 million. It was a cat previous to 3 million years, but
yeah.
He evolved into a intelligent, upright, walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a book like their scriptures, the cat scriptures or something that I forget the whole part of that. Robert, maybe you can fill it in, but
pretty fun. They had a holy war.
Did they?
Over Lister's laundry list. They just totally misinterpreted everything, and they've got one of the great lines from that is they're just using religion as an excuse to be really crappy to each other.
Oh, jeez.
But, they've always had the four, whether it's, they basically traded Holly for
Crichton. Yeah, because that's right. So there was Holly,
So there was four of them to start with.
Right. I was just thinking, because when Crichton comes on, you have the female Holly, even though you may have the female before Crichton. I'm trying to think this through off the fly. I haven't seen it.
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's something like that. And then, because then they go off in the green bug, right?
They go off in Starbug.
Starbug, yeah. It's a green spaceship.
And there was a while that Rimmer wasn't there.
Yeah, he wasn't in the... season where they get Kachansky as much. I think the actor was working on a movie or something, and so he wasn't in it as much. He was in a few episodes at the start of the season.
Is that one of the times where they made the joke that they deleted him to make room for the...
No, he goes off to become Ace Rimmer.
Oh, that's right, Ace Rimmer,
He goes off to become Ace Rimmer, which is
a great character. What does he say?
He always flips that scarf around. He has that scarf.
Yeah. And his hairdo that he's like, he throws his head around and just the hair shakes around. And it's funny that Rimmer just totally despises him, even though he's actually Rimmer. And everybody else just totally loves him. So he's like the complete opposite of Rimmer. Yeah.
Because I love when they threaten to like delete him or make room for other... Like, oh, we got this big thing, we got a store, we're going to have to delete you, Rimmer. What?
Turn me off. Yeah, because they go and they find another hologram where they're gonna. It's like a doctor or something, and they want to have the doctor, and they're like,
"We can try to
like have a share time or something." There's always something about switching him on.
I love how he's a hologram, but he still always wants to like have sex. Because I remember there was one where he was transported to another ship. It was all female holograms, and they were all like, all we want to do is take you upstairs into our room. And he's like, what? But then it ends up, of course, being sinister and evil or something, right? And it's just like, it's not the best place for him after all.
No, he's just far too stupid to become one of the crew. Because there's a crew of all holograms, and they're all like the creme de la creme of the hologram people that are left, and so he wants to go on the ship, but he can't because there's not enough room.
Isn't it something like in the beginning, he thinks it's like the greatest place on Earth? Like, he's like, this is the most fantastic, like, I have to get there or something, right?
Yeah, but he can't qualify because he's not smart enough.
Oh, is that what it was? All right. I must be mixing up maybe one or two episodes in my brain or something.
Yeah. There's one where he gets stuck on a planet, and he makes, like, an entire planet's worth of people all in his own image.
Oh. Are they all holograms, or are they...
No.
How does he make them all?
He clones them from his dandruff, I guess. Or some kind of genetic sample he had, or I don't know how they get around that, but he's, you know, he's already a hologram, but he terraforms a world. They call it Rimmer World.
Oh, boy.
My wife and daughter, they like the episode where everything is backwards.
I guess that one was, it's pretty well thought of in terms of, like, filmmaking or TV making or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it's you know, filmed and then run backwards or filmed backwards or the way
the actors actually had to really think about what they were doing
the way
they were filming
with
it
the
because
were going backwards because they're supposed to be going forwards and so.
I wonder if there are any mistakes where people were going the wrong way at the wrong time or something. It'd be fun to see a blooper reel.
If anybody knows of any mistakes, just share.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of CDs worth of bloopers. I don't know. I haven't really watched too much of that, but
the extras, you mean?
Yeah, I used to have the entire set of it on VHS tape, if you can imagine that. and there were like two extra VHS tapes that were smeg ups or smeg outs or something that was
smeg ups.
Yeah, it's basically blooper reel, but I didn't really watch too much of it. It's becoming a sauna here.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. I know. What kind of freaked me out was a few days ago, or maybe it was a week ago or so. I like looked at the thermometer on my car and it actually said 100. I was like, oh, while I was driving somewhere. And I was like, man. But I know a car is usually, like, what, 4 or 5 degrees hotter than the actual air?
I've got a thermometer out on my deck, and one of those days, you know, it's in the direct sunlight, so it's way hotter than it probably actually was. But out on the deck, it's at 102.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it any thermometer ever say 100 since I've been living out here.
It was over 100 last year, wasn't it?
I don't remember. Speaking of how hot it is, could we change the Red Dwarf theme in any way? I'm thinking, you know how they have it? It's cold outside, there's no kind of atmosphere. We can have it. It's hot outside because we thickened up our atmosphere.
That could be your public service announcement for everyone. Is Jason a Red Dwarf fan? I don't know if he...
Yeah, he said he's watched a lot of it. Yeah, he was going to come on, but I don't know. I guess he got stuck doing other things. Plus, it was like 5 million degrees at his house today. I was over there this morning. So I got to ask, too, do you guys, like, when it departed, when they left the actual ship Red Dwarf, and they spent those couple, because there was a couple seasons where they were driving around just in the Starbug, right?
Yeah.
Like, I found those seasons to be a little less humorous, less entertaining than the others. What do you think?
Well, I think they tried to bring in more of, like, story and some other side. Their production values got higher so they could, you know. They could have they could computer generate Starbuck flying through space, and they could have, you know, other people with costumes and whatever they happen to be, whether they were Gelfs or...
So that made them, you think that was just a way to make them a little more mobile, like quicker and able to get around?
Yeah, I think it
have different elements come into it?
Yeah, I think it tended to go a little bit away from character interaction and more into, like, story and action and how the characters interacted with what was going on and not necessarily with each other.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's different. It's kind of a... doesn't feel quite the same. I still like it, but it's definitely
different. Yeah, it just seemed different, yeah. But I do like that one where... wasn't there one where they found... they actually found an alien, right? Where they were like... They kind of spoofed the actual alien movie, right? Wasn't there like a parasite or something left on the ship? Oh, yeah. I feel like I remember an episode where there's like a worm thing or something. They all were trying to go capture it, and it was like a bunch of bumbling idiots trying to get this thing that could otherwise kill them.
That's the one. I think that's the one where they first have Ace Rimmer, because the thing steals their like parts of their personality.
Yeah.
So it takes away all. That's the one where Cat becomes Dwayne Dibley too, and he takes away all Cat's style. He's got the keyboard teeth and the mop haircut and
Dwayne Dibley.
And then it takes all Rimmer's, like, snidiness, or I don't know what it is. So he's, you know.
And then by the end, isn't it like a hideous monster they find at the end and they blow it out the airlock or something, or whatever, wasn't it?
No, I think they finally catch it, and then they can, like, take the parts of their personality back and put them back into the... So Cat doesn't stay Dwayne Dibley, and Rimmer doesn't stay Ace.
Maybe I'm mixing two episodes up again, because I feel like I remember at the end of one where they just had this... it was just like this awful-looking puppet creature, and it was like...
When they come up, they suck on their head?
That was the one where it stole their...
the personality.
Yeah, their personality. I mean, there's been a couple like that, because there was one... I mean, there's been... There have been a lot of monsters that are trying to
kill him. There must have been more than one, and I'm mixing a couple of them up.
The one where they
I'm being a terrible host today. I got all my shows mixed up.
The one where they turn Crichton into a human, they make a... And that tries to kill them. There have been a lot of things that are trying to kill them.
Yeah, everything tries to kill them. It's like we were just watching, what was it, season 9, episode 2, and they're reading the back of the Red Dwarf DVD in the video store, and they're like, before they all die, Rimmer's like, all die! He's like, we're going to die! I like the episodes, too, like in, what was it, season 8, where they, at the end, where they got the time device, and he's like, next time I, he goes, I don't want to see you again, if I see you again, I'm going to kill you, and he's like, I'll probably see you in about 10 minutes, and they click the little clicker to change time, and he's like, I'll see you in 10 minutes, and they click it again, I'll see you in 10 minutes, and they click it again, I'll see you in 10 minutes, like, they're just trying to get it so Rimmer doesn't die, and they can't do it, he's going to...
Yeah. Season 8 I don't find as funny as some of the others where they get, like, everybody back on the Red Dwarf. It's not as... I mean, the part of the interaction with the four guys is they're stuck with each other, and they're kind of, you know, they're the last men alive or whatever it happens to be. And when they go back for Season 8, it's kind of, you know, there's a whole bunch of other characters, and I think they kind of follow that around too much.
Yeah. Well, and they constantly had that one girl with them, right? What was her name?
Kachansky,
yeah, you're right.
Only on for a couple of seasons, though.
Yeah. Well, she was in season 8, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
well, she was
I guess
in season
she...
7, too.
7, okay.
Yeah. That's the one where they find her in the middle of that one, or not in the middle, but they have Rimmer on for, like, 2 seasons, and then he goes off to become Mace Rimmer, and,
yeah, he was doing air quotes.
It doesn't really work on the radio.
He was air quoting Ace Rimmer.
Ace Rimmer. But he leaves.
It's like you can't see that.
He leaves after a couple episodes, and then they have Kachansky. So she kind of replaces him. So there's always kind of the four-person...
Yeah, I guess you're right,
The four-person dynamic. They don't really... I mean, I guess they overlap. I guess Crichton was on a little bit when they had Holly, but not a ton.
Interesting. Cool. What else you guys want to talk about? Anything else? You got anything else? Any other fun tidbits or
everyone
episodes?
Needs if you give Red Dwarf a try, especially if you like British humor, I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't think it never really caught on in the States as well as I guess there's people who are into it. Every once in a while, I'll see somebody with a Red Dwarf T-shirt or something.
Yeah,
but
it's kind of one of those shows that like, and when you do find someone who's into it, they're like really into it, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I mean, when I was originally watching it, it was on at like 11 o'clock at night on PBS. It's not like it was.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't on Channel 13 right after Star Trek. It wasn't didn't get quite the billing, but it's kind of hard to find. And it may be easier to find in the UK. But...
Yeah. Well, now it's on Netflix, at least seasons 1 through 9, so...
Yeah. So all those years of taping it off of PBS onto the VHS tape, I didn't have to do that, I guess.
You must have had a wall of VHS tapes, huh?
I still have the VHS. I've got it at work, and it was basically... The entire season, I guess it was only through 7. I don't think 8 was out when I got it.
Okay.
But
that's like a DVD set, right?
Well, I have the DVDs, but this was VHS tapes. Somebody brought it in, and I bought it. And it was, you know, it's like 3 VHS tapes for each season.
Oh.
So
I
got like a whole row on the bottom of a shelf of Red Dwarf VHS tapes. I don't know what to do with them. They're, you know, VHS tapes.
You got to be committed for that.
I should be.
I should be. That's not
what. Oh, but that was great. That was a great
show. That's pretty funny. Yeah.
Got to be committed to the show. I see that.
Well, on that luck, on that note, we'll commit ourselves to the end of the episode.
Sounds good.
Thanks a lot for listening, guys, and thanks a lot, Robert, for showing up and talking Red Dwarf with us for a little while.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, Eric.
Thank you, John. Thanks for hosting.
Tell the family hello and talk to you guys later.
We'll get some singing going.
And all you listeners out there, don't forget. You can. We're going to have a booth at Jet City Comic Con, Jet City Comic Show, down in Tacoma. It's at the Tacoma Convention Center, if I remember correctly. November 8th. It's a Saturday. We'll be there all day. Check us out. So thanks for listening. Have a great day, everyone.
It's time to get your geek on at the con. In this segment of the Super Awesome Geek Show, we like to visit conventions around the area. Actually, now we're venturing out to a few local states, and we find out what creators, people in the industry, geek out about. So come on with us. Let's meet some of the people in the industry. Comics, movies, games, toys, wherever we can find them. And let's see what these guys geek out about.
I'm here with Angus Scrimm. You might know him as the tall man from Phantasm. And, sir, what do you geek out about? What do you really like? What are you really into?
Whoa, good Lord, life. Other people. I've been meeting so many terrific people here at the Mad Monster Convention in Seattle. I like books. I've always adored books. I love recorded music and worked in that industry for about 30 years writing the notes on the back of record album jackets or in the compact disc booklets. And movies, I've always, they've been such a part of my life.
That's very cool. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for coming up. And I wish you well with this program and all your listeners. I wish you well, too.
Thank you.
Hey, Rob here with Cora Walker from the Digital Future Lab at UW. All right, now, since we are the Super Awesome Geek Show, I gotta ask you, what do you geek out about?
Let's see, right now I'm really into the MCU and Marvel Comics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really, they're not perfect, obviously, but I'm digging a lot of the stuff they're doing.
So I gotta ask you then, yeah. You know, in that vein, what female hero would you like to most see get on the big screen?
Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Woo! Carol Danvers for the win. All right. Thanks a million for being on, Cora.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Well, my name's Bubba D. Fett. I'm Boba and Jango's least famous third cousin. I am a member of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club, which is a Star Wars-based costume club. We do all sorts of charity work.
Cool. And I always like to ask, what do you geek out about?
I am standing here in four layers of Boba Fett armor. I am an absolute Boba Fett fan. I love Star Wars. And I can't wait for the new movies. Boba Fett for 2015. Bring him back, Disney.
Cool. Hey, thanks a lot, man.
No problem. You have a good one, man.
You know, each of those have been pared down just to have the geeky question find out what these guys geek out about. But there are con overviews for the Bellingham Comic Con, Geek Girl Con, and Mad Monster over Seattle. You can find those on the interview section and listen to the entire overview for each of those conventions. Well, thanks a lot for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed our little geek out session about Red Dwarf. Visit us at the Jet City Comic Show in Tacoma, Saturday, November 8th. That's tomorrow. We'll be there.
And always remember to keep it geeky out there, guys. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Super Awesome Geek Show. We have new episodes every Friday. Interviews and other cool stuff go up on Tuesdays when we have them. You can find us at superawesomegeekshow.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/superawesomegeekshow. We're on Twitter at Awesome Geek Show. We have a Patreon account, patreon.com/superawesomegeekshow. All your pledges help, and we really appreciate the support. If you'd like to participate and or be on the show, just email me, john@mowich.net. Well, from all of us hosts, we'd like to thank you for listening. Hope you have a good week, and join us next time on the Super Awesome Geek Show. See you later, everyone.